So I'll go back and read from verse number 6 to where we are now. So this is a continuation. This is Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Maharaj Pariksit, describing the appearance of Amana. O King, when the Lord appeared on the Dwadasi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian, and every learned scholar knows this Dwadasi is called Vijaya. Conch shells, kettle drums, panavas, anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of the Gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, manus, pitas, and fire gods offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. The siddhas, the vidyadharas, the kimpurushas, the kinaras, charanas, yakshas, rakshasas, suparnas, the best of the serpents, and the fathers of the demigods all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house, while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa explained, "Jai, Jai," in great wonder and happiness. Okay, today's translation. The Lord appeared in his original form, with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in this material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word Nata is very significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in Brahma Samhita 5.33 and 5.39, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anarim, Anantarupam, Adyad, Purana, Purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Ramari Marti Shukala Niyamena Tishtana Navataro Akaro Uvaneshukinchu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person, with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. But he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamana appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayan, with four hands equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into a Brahmachari, Vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chime Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord and his transcendental body, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Krishna says in the Gita, Avajanti Mamurham Manusim Taramasvatam Parambhavam Ajanantam Mamabhutam Maheshwaram. This is a very direct word describing people who see his body as material. He says, fools deride me. When I descend in this transcendental form, they do not know my supreme dominion and my transcendental nature over all. So, sometimes it looks like we even see from past times when the Lord appears that his body acts in a way that seems to be quite ordinary. Just like when Madhai threw a pot and hit Lord Nityananda in the head and his body started to bleed. So you might think, well, how is a transcendental body going to bleed? So there's a somewhat of a, you know, question or a puzzlement. Is his body transcendental or is it like us? There is a class of spiritualists who don't have that understanding. As Prabhupada said, they have to learn more about the Lord's position. So he acts like an ordinary person, but he's not ordinary. You know, Krishna, you know, he came, he runs away from his mother when she's chasing him. She tries to tie him up, he cries. He acts like a naughty child, but then again, he lifts Govardhan Hill with a little finger of his left hand at the age of 7.5 years old. So his body looks and appears like everybody else's, but it's not. And therefore, people relegate, or what we say, yeah, relegate the Lord to a position of accepting a material body when he comes to the material world. But Prabhupada quotes this verse from the Brahma Samhita. Yeah. His body is always transcendental, and he has numerous forms. He's not subject to the modes of material nature. And his forms are as limited as he is. He can assume any form according to his own desire. And he assumes his forms just for his transcendental pleasure and to perform his transcendental pastimes. So when people see that, wherever there's a person, there's an opinion about God. Prabhupada, we used to say that. You get 1,000 people, you get 1,000 understandings of God. All somewhat different. Because people generally see with what we say, their eyes, or they see with their mind. They see in the wrong way. The Krishna says, my body is always transcendental. They do not know my supreme dominion over all that be. So he acts ordinary, but he's never ordinary. And he performs his pastimes only to carry out, to please his devotees and to carry out his transcendental will. Mm-hmm. So the Lord is always in the best, in the position. Now, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, here we see that in the form of Vamanadeva, and he did appear in his forearm form as Narayan, holding the four weapons of his own symbolic nature. And then he gave everybody an understanding, and then he changed into a little boy. Really a small little boy, and he was just, they call him Brahmachari. And then all the, as we read, you'll see he gets different gifts from different persons. They give him a Brahmin thread, they give him an umbrella, they give him some deer skin to wear, I think it's, yeah. And so many different things like that. A pot to hold, baking pot. So, you might say, well, he's a Brahmachari, but then again, he's not. Or is he a dwarf? No, he's not. What is he? He's always the Supreme Personality of God in any and all positions. So this is the what we say, transcendental nature of the Lord. The soul in its liberated stage can also change forms. But in the soul in the conditioned state is relegated to one particular form. So even the conditions, even the jiva soul, when it's in the state of liberation, can also assume different forms, but not like Krishna. His forms are not unlimited. He can assume different forms in order to serve Krishna in different ways in the spiritual world. So even the conditioned soul can assume, become liberated and then assume different forms. It even says that a yogi, a mystic yogi, can sometimes expand his own form up to nine times. But it's like television. If you ever walk into an electronic store, at least I know in America, they play all the televisions at once. You know, you go into the area of all the, and all the televisions are going, and they're all on the same channel. So you just go from one TV to another, and it's all the same thing. So it's like a television expansion. And so the jiva can do that. I think it was Subari Muni, in order to marry, 50 ladies at a time, he expanded himself into 50 different forms or something like that. So even a conditioned soul has the power to, in a liberated state or in a state of pure consciousness or a state of what we say freedom from material encumbrances, because material means limited and spiritual means unlimited. But even within the unlimited, within the spiritual, there is limited spiritual. That doesn't make sense, of course. So therefore, the jiva is also limited within the unlimited. Because it's jiva, because it depends on Krishna. But Krishna is always unlimited in all categories of himself. His forms, his names, his qualities, his pastimes, and explains that Ananta Sesh is at the bottom of the universe, holding up all the planetary systems on his hoods, and he's chanting the glories of the Lord from time immemorial. So from the beginning of the creation, he manifests himself again in that service, holding up all the planetary systems. And what is he doing? Chanting the glories of the Lord, and he never repeats the same thing twice. He's saying the pastimes of the Lord without repeating himself. So they say that the forms of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the names of the Lord, is like the ocean waves. If you sit on the bank of the shore of an ocean, you just watch the waves. There's no limit. They just keep coming. They just coming. So you might say the waves are unlimited, at least within the context of the material. So in the same way, Krishna's forms are unlimited. But we know him as what? Krishna, Rama, Nisringa, in this case, Vamana Dev, Korma, Matsya, like that, and various types of manifestations of himself, Gaur Nitai or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Krishna is the source of all the other manifestations of himself. We might say he is avatari. There is avatar and then there's avatari. Avatari is the source of all the other avatars. So Prabhupada quotes this verse, Advaitam Achutam Anadi Ananta Rupam. Ananta means unlimited, Rupam means forms. Adya Purusha Purana Purusham. They're the oldest, yet they always are original. They're not subject to material energy. They never fall down in any circumstance. So that's Krishna. And Krishna, when he does descend to this material world, Prabhupada said that about 100 to 200 people actually understood he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, Krishna came in contact with millions of people when he was here, but only 100 to 200, Prabhupada says this a few times in different lectures, only 100 or 200 people actually knew him as the Supreme Lord. So even if one is face to face with the Lord, if he doesn't have the vision or the purification of heart, one cannot recognize the Lord as the Lord. I mean, Krishna can assume any form. He can just assume a form as an old beggar and come sitting into the Bhagavatam class, and you don't even know it. He could just be anybody. Sometimes they, you know, there is a philosophy in India that a beggar comes to your door, he is Narayan, right? So you should treat him as Narayan because he may be Narayan in that form, and therefore don't minimize the beggars because God can come in that form also. So maybe sometimes he may do that in order to test his devotees or to give special mercy to his devotees like that. So there's no limit to what form God can. When he was, there was one incarnation called Srinivas. Srinivas was the demigods wanted to find out who was the actual Supreme Lord. Is it Brahma? Is it Vishnu? Or is it Shiva? So they were discussing among themselves. They couldn't decide whether it was Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva. So they deputed Bhrigu Muni. They asked Bhrigu, you go find out and let us know. So Bhrigu went to Lord Brahma first, and when he came into the presence of Brahma, Brahma got up to greet his son. Bhrigu was one of the sons of Brahma. And Bhrigu just didn't offer any respects, didn't offer anything. Brahma was really insulted, because it says in the Vedic culture, you offer respects even to your parents. Of course, sometimes we don't think that's important. But on one of the first initiations that Prabhupada ever gave in America, there was one devotee who was taking initiation and his mother came. And that was Brahmananda. So after Prabhupada gave him the name Brahmananda, he said, go pay your obeisances to your mother, which he did. So Prabhupada was teaching. This was one of the first initiations in ISKCON. From the very beginning, one should offer respects to one's parents. That is culture. That is proper respect. So when Bhrigu came into the assembly of Brahma, he didn't offer respects. Brahma got angry. And Bhrigu noted that and he left. Then he went to see Lord Shiva. And Shiva was there in Kailash with Parvati. And he came in. And Shiva was so happy to see Bhrigu, he got up and went to embrace Bhrigu. And Bhrigu said, no, don't touch me. You're actually quite contaminated. You know, you associate with, you know, low-class people and you've got skulls and ashes all over your body. So he really insulted Shiva. And Shiva became really angry and he was going to retaliate, but Parvati stopped him and said, no, he's your brother, don't do anything. So Shiva was calmed by his wife. And then he noted that and he left. Then he went to Svetadvip, the island where Lord Vishnu stays in the material world. And he came, Vishnu was there with Lakshmi. And he walked up to Vishnu. Vishnu was so happy to see Bhrigu. And Bhrigu said, didn't say a word, came up and kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. That was the way he greeted the Lord. Amazing. You don't even do that to people you don't like. But he did it to Vishnu. And Vishnu said, Oh, my dear Brigo, I think maybe your foot is kind of hurt because I'm a Kshatriya and my chest is quite hard. So let me massage your foot. And so he understood. This must be the Supreme Lord. But Lakshmi didn't like that at all. She was really upset. So she became angry, and she just left and went to the material world to perform penance. And the Lord was without his consort, his wife Lakshmi. So he was thinking, what to do? I have to get her back. So he took the form of a very simple beggar called Srinivas. And it's a beautiful story. It lasts, if you go through the whole story, before he actually catches her, it's about an hour's worth of pastime. But it's wonderful. She's avoiding him, and he's chasing after her. And he has no money. He's real poor. In fact, he's so poor he can't even eat sometimes that he lives inside of a hole, and cows pour milk into the hole so he can somehow live. So finally, he meets up with Lakshmi, and they decide to get married. But then he's broke. He doesn't have any money. God's like, poor? So he doesn't know what to do. So, because when you marry somebody like Lakshmi, you got to have some money, right? Even nowadays. So he goes to Kuvera and says, Kuvera, who's the treasurer of the demigods, can you give me a loan? I need some money to get married. So Kuvera says, yes, I'll give you a loan, but with interest. It's not going to be just a straight loan. You're going to have to pay interest. So the Lord agrees, and then there's a grand wedding, and he gets married, and they're together again. Now, if you go to Balaji Temple in Tirupati, that's Srinivas actually became Balaji later, and now he's worshipped in that form as Balaji. And that deity is one of the wealthiest deities in the world, actually. And people give large amounts of money to that deity. Why? Because he owes Kuvera money. That's the pastime behind it. So, therefore, he's collecting. Because it wasn't a cheap wedding. Not with Lakshmi. So, he finally got, I don't know if he's got all his money back yet, but he still might be paying Kuvera yet. You go to that temple, it's the richest temple in the world. There's one room, I think it's maybe one-third the size of this room. And all you see is pundits sitting in the room counting money. And it's got a glass in front of it. You've been there? You see it? And they got big stacks of money all around them. And they're counting and you can watch. And occasionally, now his wife doesn't stay there. She stays in Kolhapur. If you go to the Mahalakshmi temple in Kolhapur, she's there. Now, Balaji once in a while gives a present to his wife in the form of a beautiful sari. So she gets, amazing saris. They're like 60,000 rupees for one sari. You know, sometimes a few lakhs of rupees just for a sari. So he sends her a sari every once in a while, like that. So he's worshipped in Tirupati, and she's worshipped in Kolhapur. And if you've been to the Mahalakshmi temple, I go there all the time every time I'm in Kolhapur. It's a really amazing place. It's a compound, actually. And the worship is so wonderful. The devotees, the pujaris always let us come up in the front and take nice darshan of Mother Lakshmi, Mahalakshmi. And there's another small temple on the side where her sister is also there, Mahalakshmi's sister. And you can take her darshan also. And there's a Ram temple in there and a few other smaller demigod temples. It's a huge compound. You can spend the whole day there. It's a wonderful place. It's one of my favorite places in India to go and just, spend some time. And there's an amazing story connected with Mahalakshmi. It happens at the end of the month of January every year. The Mahalakshmi temple is really closed in quite a lot, so there's no light coming in. But there's one little passageway from one side. I think it's the eastern side. It's a narrow, long passageway. And 3 days a year, around the same time, the sun appears. And on those 3 days, on the first day, the sun comes and directs its rays right at her lotus feet. The second day, it goes to her waist. And the third day, it goes to her face. And then that's it. It's gone for the rest of the year. You can see it every year. I was there, actually, 1 year when it happened. You know, it's a big thing. All the reporters are there and everybody's coming to see. Jai Sri Sri Radha Govind, Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Ki Jai. So, yeah, actually, I actually have pictures of it. They take photographs of Lakshmi getting... Now, some years, Narayan comes in the form of the sun, because the sun is also called Surya Narayan. And he comes, sometimes he only goes to her feet and her waist, and doesn't go to her head. But most years he goes to all three places in 3 days, and then he disappears like that. Some people say, miracle, miracle. But actually, it's just the Lord, the way He reciprocates with His transcendental consort. So, and if you go to Tirupati, I'm sure many of you have been to Tirupati. It's just an amazing place. There's one story where one pujari, he was a regular pujari there for many, many, many years. And one day, one man came and wanted to offer a beautiful, very costly diamond ring to Balaji. And so he did. He offered this very costly diamond ring to Balaji. Now, this pujari got a little greedy and decided to steal the ring. So he did. Now, he stole the ring, and he was thinking, now I have to see if I can get some money for the ring. So he was thinking, but I can't go around here because I'll get caught. So he traveled at least 100 kilometers and found a small town and looked for a jeweler. And then when he went looking around, he found this jewelry shop. And then he went into the jewelry shop to see if he could get money for the ring. And he showed the jeweler the ring, and the jeweler's eyes got big. He said, "Where did you get that? I gave that ring to Balaji." You can't steal from Krishna. He was caught. And of course, it was a pretty embarrassing situation. I don't remember, the story ends there. I don't know exactly what happened after that, but, you know, he was thinking, "I'm going to cheat Krishna." He got caught. So the Lord has so many wonderful transcendental forms. If you go to Vrindavan, they say there's 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. Practically every house, every abode is a temple. So there's no limit to the Lord's forms. But Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, in the, 18th chapter, verse number 65, he says, out of all the forms, we worship Krishna. We worship Krishna because we are followers of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, our Istadeva is Lord Sri Krishna himself, like that. But some devotees are naturally attracted to Ram. Some devotees are naturally attracted to, you know, Nisringadev, the foremost commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam is Sridhar Swami. And Sridhar Swami's Istadev is Nisringadev. He worships Nisringadev as his all in all. So you see, devotees have very specific transcendental tastes. That is part of their internal makeup. And may be attracted to one of the many forms. But Prabhupada emphasizes we should try to get attracted to Krishna. Because that's what, we're followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he worshipped Krishna. And Krishna is the source, Ishwara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigra, Anadir Adir, Govinda. He's called Govinda, he's the original Supreme Persona, Ksarva Kara Karnam. So out of all the forms of the Lord, Krishna is the original transcendental form. Now, how do you understand original within the context of eternality? This is a really confusing statement. If something is eternal, that means it always exists. But something is original, which is the source of other eternals. So how can something be more eternal than something else that is that's also eternal? Any answers? Anybody? Want to give it a try? No, because you can't. That's why the principle is achintya. Achintya means his nature is inconceivable. Although he's eternal, and all other forms are coming from him who are also eternal, he's the original eternal. Therefore, he's called Adi. Adi means Adi Govinda, Adi Purusham. He's the original Supreme Personality. Yet still everything else is eternal. So the nature of the Lord is inconceivable. How can we understand the inconceivable from a position of conceivability? Or from how can we understand the unlimited from a position of limited? It can be done only by his mercy. When he wants, he'll reveal himself accordingly. So therefore it says, Mahajano Yena Kata Sampanta. The truth of religion, the truth of the Lord, is in the hearts of the transcendental pure devotees. They can explain the Lord. They understand the Lord, at least to some degree. Because Krishna says, no one can understand me completely, perfectly. Nobody. Sometimes they say God is so great that he can't even understand himself. Prabhupada used to say, when he wants to understand himself, then in that time period, trying to understand himself, he becomes greater. So he's so great that he's actually always becoming greater at the same time, because his greatness is also expanding. That's the nature of transcendence. It just... One time one devotee wanted to test Prabhupada, or not a devotee, it was a guest, I think. And Prabhupada was talking about God can do anything. So the person said to Prabhupada, if God can do anything, can he lift, can he create a rock he can't lift? If God can do anything, can he create a rock he can't lift? So how do you answer that? If you say yes, that means you limit his... limit lifting power. If you say no, you limit his creating power. So Prabhupada said yes, he can create a rock he can't lift, and then he'll lift it. Yeah, it was somewhat of a trick question, but anyway, Prabhupada, you can't fool the pure devotee anyway. So God is inconceivably great, unlimited in all aspects of himself. Just like when we worship the Lord, just like you worship, say your Ishtadeva's Radha Gokulananda. You could travel to another temple and you see a deity there who is of a different, you know, maybe it's Radha Govinda, Radha, you know, Landanishwar. You might say, well, this is not my worship of the Lord, but actually, inside of every Krishna deity contains all the manifestations of himself. So you can worship your own Ishtadeva through worshiping the Lord in another form also. Just like when Madhavendra Puri traveled to, what was that place? Ramuna. He wanted to get sandalwood pulp and camphor for his Didi. What was his Didi's name? Can't think of the Didi's name. Gopal. Yeah. Gopal. And then he came across Gopinath. So he managed to secure, but he had to go all the way back. And it was a dangerous trip to go back. So Gopinath appeared to him in a dream and told him, Gopal appeared to him in a dream and said, you can just give the worship to Gopinath because me and Gopinath are none different. So if you worship Gopinath with the sandalwood paste and the camphor, you're also worshiping me. And so he accepted that, and then he offered everything to Gopinath. And Gopal accepted it directly, as if it was given to him, like that. So within the forms of the Lord, all the forms exist like that. Just like when you first begin your worship, Radha Gokulananda is not Radha Gokulananda. They're Radha Madan Mohan. And as you progress in your worship, Radha Gokulananda becomes Radha Govinda. And as you continue to progress in your worship, your Radha Gokulananda comes to Radha Gopinath. So these are the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana deities of the Lord. So Radha Madan Mohan connects you. Radha Govinda inspires you. And Radha Gopinath is the conclusion of a bhakti, or pure love of God, like that. But Prabhupada says, we're not worshipping Radha and Krishna. That's Lakshmi Narayan on the altar. When you see Radha Gokulananda, they're in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. They're not in the mood of Radha and Krishna. Because in Radha and Krishna, there's no awe and reverence. Only in Lakshmi Narayan do you worship awe and reverence. Therefore, when you see the deity, you're in the mood of worshiping in the mood of Aishwarya Bhav, or opulence, which means awe and reverence. So when you worship Radha and Krishna, what do you do with Krishna? You play with him. Or you chastise him. Or you dance with him. These are the moods of Vrindavan. Now, you try to do that with the deity, so you might get in trouble. Prabhupada said, don't try to jump on the back of the deity. Because, you know, he's a cowherd boy, but you can't play with him like that because, you know, you're not on that level yet. But Radha and Krishna worship becomes manifest on the higher stage of your bhakti. But we always keep the mood of Aishwarya Bhav, or in worship of Lakshmi Narayan. So like that. In that way. But still, we see Radha Gokulananda. But we worship like Lakshmi Narayan, like that. So, Krishna's mysterious, but he's transcendentally sweet at the same time. Any questions? Yes, Srinivas? When did it manifest? Yeah, it wasn't in this Kali Yuga. No. Yeah. It goes way back. Yeah, yeah. It's even before this Yuga cycle. But when the worship started, I'm not sure. I don't know when the worship actually started. Just like if you go to Ramuna, the deity of Gopinath there was carved by Ramchandra himself. Ramchandra carved that deity, and he was showing it to Sita, and he said, I'm going to... one day he was laughing. And Sita said, what are you laughing about? He said, I'm thinking about my next incarnation. And she said, oh, I want to see that. So he carved a deity to show her who he's going to become in his next incarnation. And that was the Gopinath deity that's worshipped in Ramuna. And then that's the same deity that's now being worshipped. So that was, that deity goes back 2 million years at least. Time to Ramchandra. So there are ancient deities. Sometimes they manifest themselves later, and then the worship begins. So there's deities that are thousands and thousands. If you go to South India, there's a lot of deities like that that are really thousands and thousands and thousands of years old like that. So, yeah. And some deities, just like somebody in South India, was digging and found a deity of Sadbuj in South India. They didn't know what the deity was. I have a picture of it. One devotee, she took a picture of this deity. Now, Sadbuj, why would he appear in South India? Well, Lord Chaitanya did travel through all the areas that we know now as India. And so that deity was... Sadbuj is Lord Chaitanya, Ramchandra, and Krishna, all in one deity. Six-armed deities. So when they saw it, they didn't. People in the South India couldn't recognize or identify the deity. And finally somebody did. So there's a lot of deities that are hidden in the earth or manifested in different places. Like that. There's self-manifesting deities coming out of rocks and stuff. Oh, India is amazing. There's one deity of Nrisingadev in near Satara, about a mile, hour drive from Satara. He was carved by Garga Muni, I think. Yeah. And then he was underneath the water. Then one day he was found and taken in worship. So the deities sometimes are underneath the water in caves or in some... And it's thousands and thousands of years old. Yes? Yeah, he's being humble. Yeah. Well, you might not know him completely, but Prabhupada said you should try to know him as best as you can within your range of devotional power. So, it's explained like this. You can know him enough to become self-realized. And that's complete. So one day Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan giving a class, and he said, you should become 100% Krishna conscious. And that was the end of the class, and he was about to leave, and he looked at all the devotees, and they were feeling like you were, I guess. How is it possible? So Prabhupada looked and said, all right, 90%. And then nobody moved. And then Prabhupada said, 80%. And still there wasn't much change. So Prabhupada said, all right, become 70% Krishna conscious, but no less. And then he got off and then he got down from the Vyasasan. So to become a fully Krishna conscious, or to know Krishna in full, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in two places, hardly anybody knows me in full. And then in another verse he says, nobody knows me. So to know Krishna is not possible. In fact, Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya just to understand himself in the mood of his devotee. Because as Lord Chaitanya, he's in the mood of Radharani. And Radharani is trying to understand Krishna. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radharani trying to love and understand himself. So that's not possible. But each and every soul has the ability to become fully Krishna conscious, which means you can go back home, back to Godhead. And then from there, your knowledge of Krishna will expand unlimitedly like that. But we can know him enough in this material world to qualify to go back home, back to Godhead like that. So what is that knowledge? It comes by devotional service. As we serve Krishna with love, Krishna reveals himself more and more. It's not about reading books. Reading books is important, and that's necessary. We should read books as much as we can and try to understand Krishna. But Krishna, the knowledge of Krishna is revealed within the heart when Krishna is pleased by our devotion. So don't become discouraged. We all can learn. We can all have enough Krishna consciousness to go back to Godhead. Anything else? Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Sitaram. Lakshman Hanumanji ki jai. Gaur Nithai ki jai.